come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
My next guest is an expert on one of World War II's most infamous battles, the planned invasion of Germany, codenamed Operation Market Garden. We'll talk about the failed attack from the American perspective from his latest book, September Hope, The American Side of a Bridge Too Far. John McManus grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and attended the University of Missouri School of Journalism. After receiving his degree in broadcast journalism, he worked for a time in advertising, but then decided to pursue graduate studies in history at the University of Missouri. He received his master's in history in 1991 and went to the University of Tennessee in 1992 to pursue his doctorate. For the last few years, he has taught history at the University of Tennessee at St. Louis Community College and the University of Missouri Rolla. Previously, he served as the executive assistant and the assistant director of the Center for Studies of War and Society. Currently, he lives in St. Louis with his wife Nancy and teaches at the University of Missouri Rolla and St. Louis Community College. Joining us from St. Louis, hi John, how are you today?
Hi, how's it going?
It's great. Thank you so much for being our guest here on the Bill Frank Show. And I want to talk about this portion of the war, specifically Operation Market Garden. But before I do, I think we need some context. So give us an idea of the success that the Allies were experiencing in Europe from, say, June of 1944 to August of 1944.
Well, they had had, really, by that point, their most success of the entire war. And in a sense, by the end of the summer, they're victims of their success. And what I mean by that is that the Allies had certainly won in Normandy in the wake of the invasion. They had destroyed many of the German armies in France. They had liberated most of the country, including, most famously, Paris on August the 25th. But, you know, the closer they got to Germany, the farther away they were from their supply bases back on the invasion beaches, and they really didn't control enough port cities. So they were running into some serious supply problems. They had the stuff, but they couldn't get it to the soldiers in the front line. And the soldiers were the Soviets were having the same problem in the Eastern Front, too. So there was a lot of hope, and this is really, I think, the operative word of the whole story, and so I've called the book September Hope. A lot of hope on the verge of September 44 that maybe Germany was about to collapse, and you could just land one more haymaker and take down the Hitler regime.
Well, it was an interesting time for the Allies on both the Eastern and the Western Front. I mean, the Germans were in disarray at that point. They were being overwhelmed on the East by the Russians, on the West by the Americans and the Brits. They were losing soldiers by the thousands at that point. American bombers and British bombers were bombing the German cities day and night. You could see and draw a very quick conclusion that Germany was on its last legs. However, that wasn't the case. Now, in Operation Market Garden, how did these successes that we experienced from June to August of 1944 really lead to the formulation of Operation Market Garden?
Well, at this point, by the end of that summer, in the wake of Normandy, you've got an argument looming among the top commanders. Montgomery, Field Marshal British Field Marshal Bernard Montgomery, is mainly an advocate of what's often called the single thrust invasion of Germany. That, in other words, you put all of your resources into one major thrust into northern Germany, go for Berlin, and end the war as quickly as possible, hopefully by the end of 44. Montgomery knew that Britain was near the end of its tether, so he certainly would like to follow that blueprint. Eisenhower, his superior, the supreme commander, an American, sees it a little bit more of an American point of view. He advocated what's often called a broad front thrust into Germany. In other words, just don't favor one army over any other. Just advance shoulder to shoulder into Germany and use your resources by dispersing them. And ultimately, over time, you will overwhelm Germany because you have more manpower, more material, more firepower, so on and so forth. And it's sort of attrition. It's similar to what Grant and Lincoln had done to the Confederacy in the Civil War. So a very American point of view. But Montgomery's able to convince Eisenhower that if you launch an airborne operation behind the German lines, you'll capture a bridgehead over the Rhine River and thus have a nice foot in the door of Germany. And that's really kind of Ike's mistake, that he doesn't quite understand when he gives the go-ahead for this airborne operation, which is called Operation Market Garden, that he's essentially diverging from his broad front and giving Monty the single front or single thrust approach.
All right. My guest is John McManus, author of the book September Hope. And Operation Market Garden, John, was actually two operations. There was Operation Market and there was Operation Garden. They were two different, distinct plans of attack. Differentiate between the two, and then I want to come back and talk a little bit more about Eisenhower's point of view versus Montgomery's point of view.
Yeah, sure. Operation Market is the actual airborne drops, which you're scheduled to have three airborne divisions, the British 1st Airborne, the American 82nd, and 101st. You're going to drop them anywhere from about 15 to 65 miles behind the German lines in Holland. The purpose of Operation Market is for the paratroopers and the glider troopers to go in, capture bridges, hold the road, and then wait there until you have Operation Garden, which is British armor from the British 30 Corps, punch through the German lines in Holland, come straight up that road, link up with the airborne troopers, get over the bridges over the major river systems, ultimately the Rhine at a town called Arnhem, what is often called a bridge too far in our popular memory, and then get into Germany and, you know, curtains for Hitler at that point is the concept.
Right. Now, it is interesting. What were the casualty rates projected to be for the paratroop drop, the Operation Market portion of Market Garden? I mean, fatalities among glider pilots and paratroops were extraordinarily high during World War II, weren't they?
They definitely were. And there were never enough glider pilots to go around. And the gliders were doing in those days what helicopters would do to a later era. A lot of resupply, a lot of reinforcement, and so on and so forth. And the glider pilots are really quite interesting because they're these kind of mavericks who are very self-independent, resourceful people, but they don't necessarily toe the line the way you might have to as a power pilot, a bomber pilot, a fighter pilot, so on and so forth. And there were never enough of them. And so a lot of times what's happening in Market Garden, there's so many gliders in the air, they're having to just sort of train ground troops that they're hauling, just train them on the fly to be a co-pilot.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah, and most any airborne trooper will tell you he'd really rather go in by parachute than glider because the glider landings tended to be costlier. They were in Normandy, and sometimes they were in Market Garden as well. So casualty projections, it's a typical campaign, anywhere from 10 to 30-something percent, I would say, but the reality is closer to 50% in Market Garden.
They were much higher. My guest is John McManus. We're talking about Operation Market Garden, a failed attempt by the Allies in World War II to end the war more quickly. And I want to come back to the commanders-in-chief, if I can, for just a minute. So on the American side, there was General Dwight Eisenhower, who was the overall commander-in-chief. He was favoring the broad front attack that we had experienced in our American history, whereas Bernard Montgomery, who was the British commander, wanted a single thrust attack. And you point out very interestingly that because Britain was on its last legs, and I find that an interesting aspect. But my question to you is this, John. Didn't we learn anything from Blitzkrieg by watching the Germans in 1940, particularly the Americans, because we were not in the war at that time? We could have watched and observed and learned from what from the Germans what they did going into France and how we could have then repeated that process going back. Why didn't we learn from Blitzkrieg?
Well, I would say that the Americans in particular did learn from what the Germans had done in France and in Russia. And what I mean by that is the United States Army was, by 1944, the most heavily mobilized mechanized army in the world and was designed for that kind of lightning and maneuver fighting. And it's exactly what happened in the wake of Normandy. American armored formations with a major assist from fighters overhead were just flashing through France, and that's one of the reasons why the campaign was as mobile as it was. But at some point, logistics and terrain might dictate otherwise, and that's really what's happening by the fall of 44, that you don't have enough fuel to sustain some sort of blitzkrieg drive. And the terrain of Germany is such that it's hard to sustain those kind of movements because of some of the heavy forests in western Germany, but mainly the river systems. That are going to hold up vehicles for obvious reasons. So Eisenhower is having to make those hard choices. He just, as an American, certainly he wants the war to end by the end of 44, but he understands it may last into 45 and that we have the resources to overwhelm them. Montgomery feels he doesn't quite have that luxury as a Briton.
It's an interesting perspective. My guest is John McManus, author of the book September Hope, The American Side of A Bridge Too Far. And that brings us to the movie A Bridge Too Far. That was Richard Attenborough's 1977 film. Had a star-studded cast. For those of you who haven't seen it, here are some of the names of the people that were in the movie. Sean Connery, Michael Caine, Ryan O'Neill, Robert Redford, Sir Laurence Olivier, Anthony Hopkins, Gene Hackman, Elliot Gould, and representing the Germans, Maximilian Schell. Did the film capture the hubris of the recent Allied victories in Europe, and in what ways did it miss the mark from the American point of view?
it definitely captures the hubris. I think it does it brilliantly, especially in the very disquieting scenes about how, you know, before Market Garden, how they're finding out the presence of two SS Panzer divisions near the British drop zones and how this is kind of swept under the rug. I mean, that's pretty well done. I think that the actual drops themselves are portrayed brilliantly. What it doesn't measure up to from an American point of view is especially the experiences of the 101st Airborne Division around Eindhoven, holding that road open. The Americans came to call the roads in Holland Hell's Highway, and sometimes they'll just call this campaign Hell's Highway because they're getting counterattacked constantly from either side, and they find themselves just constantly putting out fires all up and down that road, and you really don't get a sense of that in the movie or in the book. In the 82nd Airborne 2, to some extent, although you do see the really dramatic wall crossing when the 82nd Airborne troopers get on canvas boats, row across in broad daylight, and capture a very heavily defended position in a town called Nijmegen. And I cover that in great depth in the book September Hope. But what I'd hope to kind of add to the whole Market Garden conversation was perhaps something of the American perspective, which has been sort of downplayed because most of the fixation has been on Arnhem, where the British fought, and rightfully so. But the American side of it, too, admittedly, by other scholars, has been kind of lost, I think, until now.
My guest is John McManus. All right, so Operation Market Garden, it was filled with risks. I mean, it was, in fact, risks piled upon risks. You had parachute drops in broad daylight. You had armor moving along narrow, elevated roads through Holland. You had the logistical issues, the fueling supplies that you talked about before, the hidden German panzer divisions that intelligence only found about it at the last minute. And then you had this political squabbling between the commanders. So the big question is, why didn't somebody just kill Operation Market Garden and say, enough?
That's a great question, and that's the sad aspect of this whole story. The only individual who could really have done that would have been Eisenhower or perhaps Montgomery. Montgomery, as you know, is determined to go ahead with it, come what may. Eisenhower, for, as I think you hinted at, political reasons, is really not willing to squelch Market Garden. He likes the idea of using the airborne troopers because many of them have been hanging out in England throughout the summer, and these were elite troops that wanted to get in action. He thinks Market Garden is going to represent just a foot in the door. It's not going to unravel all his other plans, and that's the mistake he makes. No one any farther down the line is in a position to kind of kill Market Garden in its cradle, which is what should have happened, because you pointed out exactly, there's so many risks. It's a zero-defect plan. Everything has to go right for this thing to succeed, and pretty quickly things start to go wrong, and that's the sad aspect of this whole thing that I hopefully have brought to life in the book.
My guest is John McManus, author of the book September Hope. So, John, help connect some dots in history then for us, if you will, please. How did the loss of the bridges at Sahn, Eindhoven, Grave, Nijmegen, the battle that we're talking about, the Operation Market Garden, how did those losses lead to the Battle of the Bulge in December of 1944, just a mere 6 months later?
Well, once the Allies fail in Holland, and basically what ensues there is a stalemate that lasts for the rest of the fall, and from a Canadian and British perspective, the rest of the winter into the spring. Once that happens, the Germans are given enough time to kind of pause, regroup, set up another strong defensive line, and bring up their remaining reserves for what Hitler feels is a smart move to try and punch through a thinly held sector of the American line down in the Ardennes. And we know that as the Battle of the Bulge. Now, you know, in the longer view of things, it wasn't the wisest thing to do, but the failure of Market Garden basically means you're going to have a stalemate, more or less a stalemate, along the entire front that fall of 44. And it doesn't mean there isn't fighting and there aren't Allied soldiers attacking eastward and gaining some ground, but there's really no chance that you're going to get to Berlin or whatever and collapse the entire Nazi regime. It's just not going to happen for a while. It's going to now coalesce into what Eisenhower had originally envisioned, a broad front, shoulder-to-shoulder, attrition-style advance. And I have, just purely my opinion, I think the broad front was the wiser choice, and I think the failure of Market Garden proved that.
Did the failure of Market Garden extend World War II needlessly?
In my personal opinion, it did. And the reason I say that is this. The failure of Market Garden had a dramatic consequence, which was that the Allies were not able to open up and use the incredible supply port of Antwerp. if Eisenhower had these supply problems, half the answer to it was controlling Antwerp. And when the Allies decided to go ahead with what amounted to a military Hail Mary pass in Market Garden, it meant they gave short shrift to clearing out a lot of the inland islands and fords and areas leading to Antwerp, about 60 miles worth, that the Germans then fortified, thus denying Antwerp and the use of it to the Allies, even though they controlled the city and the docks, until pretty well into December of 44.
My guest is John McManus, author of the book September Hope, The American Side of a Bridge Too Far. And John, interestingly enough, your book combines a rich mixture of first-person accounts and really perceptive tactical analysis that was not really known before your book. How did you access all of these materials in doing your research for September Hope?
Well, I went a bunch of places, including, of course, Holland itself, and did a lot of research on the ground and met with local historians and met people who had been involved in this, who remembered those days. A big part of my book, too, is the experience of the Dutch alongside the Americans. Not just resistance folks, but civilians who remembered the Americans. I found that fascinating. But, of course, you've got incredible collections, like at the National Archives, and in particular, Cornelius Ryan, who was the greatest of all Market Garden historians, had the foresight to preserve most of his research material, veterans, questionnaires, letters, diaries, that kind of stuff. That is available for research at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. So I spent quite a bit of time there, found a great amount of material, and of course did some of my own interviews too with surviving veterans. And my philosophy is always to gather as much as possible, and then you can tell the story as best you can.
My guest is John McManus. So John, what do you want readers to take away from reading September Hope?
I want you to take away the fact that Americans were a big part of what was one of the key and I think most catastrophic operations in all of World War II. That the paratroopers and glider people who fought as far as the 82nd and 101st Airborne Division had a major, major role in what was a pivotal moment in World War II. And that the decision for Operation Market Garden and the failure of the operation probably did directly lead to another grinding winter war, and thus the loss of a lot of lives on both sides in World War II, unfortunately.
My guest has been John McManus, author of the book September Hope, The American Side of a Bridge Too Far. John, you've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Sure. You can always go visit my website, which is www.johncmcmanus.com. And the book is available in any bookstore, primarily, of course, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million and the like. And, of course, the e-tailers, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and the like. It's available everywhere.
John, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bill. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.